So we've been going through the I am statements, the seven of them. We're looking at the second one here today with Jesus saying, I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk into darkness, but will have the light of life. Darkness can be a really, really scary thing. I went out and got changed very quickly for the observant ones. When I came back, both doors were shut. And I couldn't even find the handle for a room that I walk in and out of all the time trying to find my way back. So I've had to open that other door again just to get a bit of light in here so I can see where I'm going to find my way back in. Otherwise, the service would have been very, very different. But just to give you an idea of what was going on at the time, so some religious people there were accusing this woman of adultery. And while they're in a position where they're thinking, yeah, let's put Jesus on the spot then. Let's really check with him on what he would say here. They said to him, what should we do with her? This woman, she's committing adultery. What should we do with her? And Jesus knows exactly what's in people's minds and their hearts and how they might have been planning against him there. So Jesus responded, will he who is without sin cast the first stone? John chapter 8, verse 7. He who is without sin cast the first stone. So he hasn't said go and stone her. He hasn't said let her off. He without sin cast the first stone. Now the woman's accusers left one by one because every single one of them were living in darkness. Every single one of them had sinned. And Jesus was able then to say to her after, go and sin no more. Jesus was able to let her go there. Jesus could forgive her for her sins. But then Jesus then declared he was the light of the world. He wanted his followers to know that they didn't have to live in darkness, hopelessness, powerless to sin. If they would follow him, then he would bring his light of life into their lives, transforming them and restoring them with his power. Our verse here, John chapter 8, verse 12. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And so we're going to be looking at I am the light of the world here today, and looking at what Jesus has said to these people. But if we go back, let's go back to Genesis chapter 1, verse 3. It says there, and God said, let there be light. And after everything that God created, he said it was good. So God saw the light, he saw it was good. But years and years and years later, God is now sending his son Jesus, who then says to us that he is the light. Jesus didn't say, I am the light in that room, or the light in this room, the light in church, the light in town. Jesus is not a light. He's not a way, as some people may believe. Well, there's lots of gods and you can choose to follow your one. Jesus hasn't said he is a light. He is the light of the world. And Jesus will guide us in the way that we want it to be, or the way that he needs us to be. And we do. We live in a very dark world. And I don't want it to be all doom and gloom, because I'm all about how joyful can we make church. And it should be. We should be rejoicing in what he's done for us. But let's be honest. It's a very dark world at times. The world is filled with both moral and spiritual darkness in lots and lots of places. And I sat there when I was going through this thinking, well, why was Jesus needed? Why did Jesus need to come again if what God had created, he'd always said, was good? And over time, things have got worse and worse. The world is becoming more sinful. And do you know why light was required? It's because the world is dark. I don't need to say, let's turn on lights now. We've got lights on here. It is a light room. But when I was out there, it was very, very different. I needed some light. Didn't have my phone to put the torch on. I needed to open the door. I needed to let the light in. In a dark place, light will always overcome. Light will always overpower it. But God wouldn't have needed to send Jesus to be the light of the world if the world wasn't in the state it had got to. And bearing in mind that God the Father knows exactly what is required and exactly when, he sent Jesus for this purpose, which was to be the light for the world, not a light. I know that sometimes I'm at home and I love spotlights. If you come around to my house, I've got 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. I have 12 lights in my bedroom, one either side of the bed, 4 above the wardrobe that Lucy turns on when I'm still asleep so that it's not too bright for me, and then the 6 when it's clearly time to get up. And a bulb will go, and I'm like, well, that's all right, I can survive that. We've got plenty. And another bulb will go. Ethan starts saying to me, Dad, you're going to change the bulb yet? No, it's light enough, it's fine. And another bulb will go. We're at about 3 bulbs gone now, and it's starting to get darker and darker. But I can see. want to get up on the ladder because I'm not as tall and blessed in that way to do it straight away. So I'm thinking, it's all right, it's okay, we can deal with this. The next bulb goes, and I don't know whether it's the room getting darker or the nagging I'm getting, but something makes my mind up that I'm going to actually change these bulbs. But when I do get up and I change all the bulbs and I replace them to what they should be, it's, wow, it's bright in here again. And I wonder if some of us today, myself included, live in a world where we don't realise just how much darker things are getting around us. And are we looking for that light to brighten our world? That light that's Jesus Christ, that can shine for each and every one of us and show us the way we should be going. And show us that, yes, it's a dark world, but we've got the light that can overpower all of this. Do we realise how dark things are getting around us and start almost becoming accustomed to it and being, it's the way it is? When we're sat at work and there might be some of those conversations going on, you think, actually, I'm not quite sure that's right. Do we step forward and say, actually, let me tell you what it should be? Or do we just sit there and think, it's the way the world is today? Without light, it's dark. There is darkness without light. God said, let there be light, and there was. Without those bulbs in my room, it is dark. So without light, it's darkness. And Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood, but against rulers, against the authorities, against the powers of this dark world, and against the spiritual forces of evil. This dark world. But with Jesus' light coming in and making things the way that we need them to be, not even just want them to be, the way we need them to be, if we focus on Jesus and his light, it can be so much better. And do we then carry that light forward? Or do we hide our light? Do we turn that light off? Do we sit in that dark area and think, I'm not going to shine that light out that Jesus put there for us? The world is completely dark without this light, and we need this light to be able to shine for us and everyone around us. Do we share it? But I want to talk to you briefly about the lights then. So light brings safety. How many people, when you were young, and be honest, were scared to sleep in the dark? Yeah. I was scared of the dark for a period of time. I'm not going to ask now how many of us are still scared of the dark, because there are some people that are, but probably wouldn't be quite as brave to put their hand up now. But the dark is a scary place. When we don't know what there is in front of us, how safe do you feel? If I blindfolded somebody now and said, let me just walk you around the church. We know it's safe. We know we're in church, a safe environment. But I put some chocolates on it almost that people would be a bit more slowly wanting to walk, because you don't, if you don't trust me to walk you, or you don't know how safe your environment is. And there's often some of the running I do along the Thames path. Lucy does it after work sometimes. But I tell her, do not do that in the winter months when it's dark. It's not because the dark is going to get hurt, but we don't know what else is there that's unsafe. So light brings us safety. Light also brings us health. People are happier in the sunlight. How many people during the winter months are booking their sunshine holiday already? Last year was a really difficult one and we were booking. We can go down the whole vitamin D and stuff in sunlight, but in Alaska, when they go through their months of darkness, statistics show there that their crime rate goes up. And as the world there is getting darker, so are people's moods. So are people's behaviours. And if you look at these things, people's behaviours and stuff get worse. So the light brings us health. It makes us feel happier. It does. Don't ever complain that we've got too much sun. Okay? Light illuminates the dark, as we spoke about earlier. When you're driving down the country lanes or something, you've got your headlights on, the car knows where you're going, it sets out your path for you. Cars today are getting that much cleverer that as you start turning the wheel, your headlights are turning the direction you're going. So it shows which way you're going. The kids' camps that I do, there was someone, I'm going to say someone rather than me, but there was someone who drove on occasion quite silly and was like, let's see what it looks like without the headlights on. Driving down a dark country lane, what a stupid thing to do. And it is, and they were told numerous occasions. And we probably don't ever go down a road where it is completely dark now, because we've either got the street lights or we've got our headlights. But we need that light to be a path. And Jesus came as the light of the world to be our path, to give us guidance on where we should be going and what we should be doing. Sorry. And light brings us life. In my garden, I've got my fence that blocks off some of the light to the plants. And you can see as the plants grow, they're leaning as far out as they can to get some sunlight. You can visibly see it. Light gives us life. We need sunshine to grow. And we, as Christians today, every day, need to be reading the Bible, need to be following Jesus' plan for us in order to grow. Light gives us life. And if we are going to grow, we need it, both physically and spiritually. And so what of this light? 1 John chapter 1 verse 7, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us all from sin. So we've got what Jesus has come down to do, to come to save us, to come to give us guidance on where we should be. And I'll read that again for you. 1 John chapter 1 verse 7. But if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship with one another. And the blood of Jesus, his son, purifies us all from sin. Jesus came down to earth as the light of the world for every single one of us. And this world is completely dark without it. We need Jesus in order to be able to show us the way to go and show us how we should be for him. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. And just a reminder there, I'm not saying that if you're sat in a dark room, you're being attacked or something is going on. We're talking about the darkness of the world and the things that come or become more evident in the dark. I repeat from Ephesians chapter 6, verse 12 earlier, says, for our struggle is not against flesh and blood. Having bodies are not bad things. It's what we do with them or the focus of them. When we're in that dark area and we think, do you know what? I can't be seen. I might do this. Nobody's watching. I can get away with this. Somebody is watching all the time. And I spoke a few weeks back and saying, let's not just focus on the bad and how we can avoid the bad things, but let's focus on the light. Let's focus on Jesus Christ, the light of the world for you and I. I am the light of the world. Whoever follows me will not walk in darkness, but will have the light of life. How are we using this in our daily walk? How are we using the opportunity to talk to somebody and say, let me tell you about what Jesus did for me? We are like this house at the very, very beginning. Let's see how far back. Oh, too far. How are we going to be that light that stands out in the dark? Or do we quash that flame? I love that Richard said we buy lots of candles, not just one that might blow out. We don't stand on just one thing. We buy lots of candles and we light them. How do we show this off to everybody else in our daily walk, whether at work, whether with family? Do we leave here today and we're like, well, I heard something and it's sorted my time out, but that's done? Or do we look at our week and as we plan the week, we think, right, this is what we're doing this week? Do we show the light that we've got from Jesus Christ? Now, I'm cutting shorter today. We've got the meeting, special meeting that's going to be after. And before we go back into just having just a couple more songs of worship here together and some drinks and tea and stuff to come back in, I want us just to take just a few minutes to be able to think about what difficulties have we had this week? Have we thought about what Jesus is doing for us? Are we listening for that message that is being spoken to us? Do we take the time in prayer to listen, Lord, just what are you wanting to do with me? And if there's assistance that you need, if you need somebody to pray for you, please do come and talk to one of us. If you want help on how would I be able to listen, how would I be able to share, please come and talk to one of us. If it's a new message for you because you're visiting this week, please come and say hello. Come and give me your views. If you liked what you heard, come and talk to me. I'm Steve. If you didn't, my name's David. And they're all your reviews. But no, please do come and talk to one of us and just pray with us. Let us pray for you on how we as a group, I said earlier about we are a fellowship together on how we can use this time together to be able to shine the light. So please just take a couple of moments in prayer. If you would like to pray out, please do feel free to. Nice and loud so everyone gets to hear you before we go on and finish with the grace together. Father, I want to thank you for the time you've given us here, Lord. Lord, thank you that you sent your Son to be the light for us. And Lord, as we look at our own lives, please help us, Lord, to really focus on you and how we can share that light together. Father, thank you for the word that you give us that we can read day in, day out, Lord, in safety. Lord, knowing as we've read and as we've prayed, Lord, that light will always overcome darkness. Thank you, Lord, that you are that permanent light. You're that light that gets everywhere, Lord. But Lord, not as something that we should be worried there about, Lord, but something that we know is there as our comfort, as our guide, as our strength. Lord, you give us life. We pray, Lord, that you'll give us every opportunity this week to be able to look to that light. And Lord, how we can shine that light with your power to people in our daily lives. Lord, we thank you for the blessings that you give us day in, day out, Lord. And we pray that you'll help us to be able to use them too. Amen. So if we can, please, if you're able to, stand and we'd say the grace to each other. Afterwards we are going to have just music play, just as you would like to go grab your drinks and biscuits and stretch those legs before we come back. Please don't disappear as we have the special meeting afterwards that was announced previously. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with us all, now and evermore. Amen.